Hi there, I'm Vincent Boss and I provide dating and self-improvement advice. And in today's podcast, we're going to be discussing the psychology of rejection and how to get your ex back. I provide audio coaching for breakup recovery, trying to get an ex back, attracting someone new, and life coaching. Visit www.dateme.tips. For more details, please check your spam and junk folders if you are expecting an email from me. So now let's get back into today's podcast. And today we are discussing the psychology of rejection and how to get your ex back. So if you have been dumped and want to try to get your ex back, you might wonder why you feel addicted to your ex, obsessed, and even physical pain. In today's podcast, I'll be discussing 3 points connected to a study into why dumpees feel the way they do and how this knowledge can then be flipped and used to increase the chance of one day getting your expert dumper back into a relationship. So let's get straight into this, and point number one is the study. So scientists found out that feeling really hurt or upset after a breakup might be because of certain parts of the brain. Now, these brain parts are usually involved in feeling motivated, enjoying rewards, and even the kind of craving you get with addiction. The study was shared in the Journal for Neurophysiology by Helen Fisher from Rutgers University in New Jersey and Lucy L. Brown from the Einstein College of Medicine in New York. Now, they think they can help us understand why it's so tough to stop feeling bad, upset, and negativity, in a sense, after being rejected. In essence, the psychology of rejection, and why some people do extreme things like stalking or even worse. Now, in their research, they looked at brain scans of 15 college students who had been dumped, but were very much still in love. You know, these people were saying that they felt very much in love with their former partner who had sadly dumped them previously. Now, it'd been about 2 months since the breakup, so each of these 15 college students who was involved in the experiment were dumped roughly 2 months or so ago. These students were really hung up on their exes and thinking about them most of the day. Now, I'm not entirely sure how they come to the conclusion of when they was thinking about them in a percentage sense, but I did read that on average, apparently, the students believed they were thinking about their ex roughly 85% of each day. Now, that is significant, but is also something I would definitely agree is very, very likely to be the case. Again, I'm not entirely sure how they came to that conclusion, but it is something that I would have thought myself, knowing from my own experiences and the many, many years I've been in this line of work. I think that is very much a believable percentage of time, but like I said, I don't know how they actually measured that within the experiment. So as I said, the students were thinking about their ex most of the day and they wanted to get back together. So the students were then shown pictures of their exes and then did a maths problem to distract them, followed by looking at a picture of someone they knew but weren't close to. So in essence, they were shown an image, a photo of an acquaintance. Now, the brain scans that followed showed that pictures of the exes lit up part of the dumpy's brain that deal with love, craving, and even physical pain. Now, this makes researchers think that being in love, especially when it's not returned, is kind of like being addicted. And, you know, I often say this in my podcasts. If you've been dumped, you're experiencing feelings very similar to a combination of grief and drug withdrawal. In essence, addiction. You know, and this has been somewhat proved in this study. Now, the good news is that they also found out that as more time passes post-breakup, these feelings start to fade. Now, this is very slowly but surely, and it is different for every person, but there was a downward trajectory regarding the feelings which was being represented through these brain scans. Now, this shows that over time, people start to heal from a breakup, learning from experience and slowly letting go of the situation in a healthy way. Now, if I was to say this to you in a sense of, hey, look, you'll be able to let go of your ex in a few months, this is something which would probably scare you. You know, I remember from my own experiences as a dumpy, I didn't like the thought of being quote unquote over my ex, because that made me think that I would be forgetting all of the memories we had together. You know, it is almost a paradox that I didn't want to feel better because I was fearful that meant that I was forgetting about what had taken place between us. I was forgetting all of the positive memories. I thought, how could I feel better and still remember my ex and our relationship? I didn't think that was possible, and I was fearful of actually feeling better. And that is paradoxical, but maybe you can also feel the same way as I did in the past. Maybe you can take that on board and represent it in your own sense. And this is why I think it's careful just to say from the study, you know, people learn from their experiences by slowly letting go, but it's not something to be scared of. You know, this is a good thing to be healing. And I can say from experience, you don't forget about your past relationships. You don't forget about your ex. You just learn how to live in a healthier way, and you can have the best of both worlds. You don't forget about the good times, but you can also live and move forward with your life. Now, this study was a big team effort, and it was published in a well-known science journal. So you can try and check it out if you are interested yourselves. And it helps us see why breakups are so hard. And it also gives us hope. And hopefully, if you are going through the grind right now, it gives you hope that things will get better with time. So now let's get into point number two and the second point of today's podcast. Please like this video if you're watching on YouTube and subscribe to the channel. And point number two is things to consider. Now, before we get into an important portion of today's podcast about how this can be used to increase the chance of one day getting your ex back, I just wanted to say a few elements of things we need to consider regarding the study. Now, the first thing to say is the sample size was very small. It goes without saying that if you want to really believe in a study, you want as large a sample size as possible. If I'm not mistaken, I think it said there was 15 people in the sample size. Now, that is not a large amount. It's a small sample size within this particular scientific study. However, what I would say, anecdotally, from the people I've spoke to over many years, my own experiences and the like, I would very much believe this is accurate. So although I haven't done the brain scans that they did in this study, I would very, very much believe that this would be replicated over thousands and millions of dumpees rather than the 15 that actually was part of the study. So yes, the sample size was small. Yes, we have to be somewhat careful when we judge with small sample size. You know, we have to be careful. We have to be responsible with this and say it was a very small sample size. But I do believe that this would be something which would be replicated if we were to have a much larger sample size of hundreds, thousands, millions of dumpees. I actually think it would be pretty accurate and very, very similar. Now, the other thing we need to really consider when we look at this study were the age of the participants within the study. And the reason I'm saying this is because we have to understand that this study was, again, if I'm not mistaken, done on college students. Now, this means that they were young adults, I would guess. I mean, it doesn't say from what I read, but I would imagine they were probably between the ages of, say, 18 to 21, maybe perhaps a little bit older, but I certainly wouldn't like to suggest that they were much older than that. Now, the reason why this is important to consider is that the human brain is generally considered to be fully developed by the mid to late 20s. And with some sources actually pinpointing the age of 25 as a rough benchmark. And we have to therefore consider that the people involved in this experiment might have not had fully developed brains. Now, if you are somebody who is within this age category, if you're somebody who is younger than 25, then maybe this definitely connects with you anyway. But let's just say you're listening to today's podcast and you're somebody who's 50 years of age. You might be thinking, well, how does this connect? And you would be very, very much entitled to think of this. But as I said, brains generally don't fully develop till around 25. And the last part of a brain to actually develop is the prefrontal cortex. That's responsible for decision making, impulse control, and critical thinking. You know, this is the last part of a brain to develop. The part of a brain which considers all of these elements. The part of a brain which also considers risk. These types of situations are going to be crucial when you're going through a breakup, when you're trying to navigate through those choppy waters and deciding what to do next and how to behave. So if you're 50 years of age and you go through a breakup, it is understandable for you to think to yourself, well, would I even go through the breakup in a similar way to these people in the experiment? And the chances are you probably would have a somewhat different experience yourself due to your brain being fully developed, but also the life experiences which have shaped you for good or for bad. You know, the trauma that you may have encountered in the past, sadly, could be affecting you today if you haven't worked through this with a professional. Similarly, you might have lived a very happy life. You might not be stained by past experiences, and you might not have those particular challenges. So these are things to all consider. You know, I want you to be fully understanding of what we're talking about today and not just take everything on board as gospel, as we say, you know, because it's important for me to say both sides of the equation. Now, by and large, ultimately, I genuinely believe that this experiment, that this study is accurate. So just to suggest that it's all wrong because of the ages of people and the small sample size, I think would be wrong. You know, I think by and large, the results would be replicated throughout many, many, many more people, throughout many, many, many different ages of people. I do believe it would be somewhat accurate, but I just needed to tell you those points because we have to consider things when we do look at a study. Now, if you would like advice and support about how to try and increase the chance of one day getting your ex back, then you may want to consider my audio coaching service, where me and you can speak one-on-one about your unique specific situation. Go to my website www.dateme.tips for more information about how I can become your coach and your teammate via my audio coaching service. So now let's get into point number three and the final point of today's podcast about the psychology of rejection and how to get your ex back. And point number three is how to get your ex back. So how do we connect this study? How do we look at the study and increase our chance of getting our ex-dumper back into a relationship? Well, what we can see here is that you are moving on your own journey as a dumpee through into recovery. As I said, it could take a long, long time, but the study shows, matching what I believe from my own research, which slowly over time, life becomes easier and you live your life in the right way, you will get to the stage where you feel an acceptance and an ability to move forward with your life. Now, if you are moving in this upward trajectory, what we will find interesting is that the likelihood is your dumper will be on a downward trajectory regarding how they feel about themselves and yourself. Now, how do I mean by this? Well, if you live your life the right way, if you implement my version of a no contact rule, then you will be going through recovery. You're on that upward trajectory. But whilst you're doing that, you're inadvertently, quote unquote, rejecting your dumper. And this is another paradox. Your ex dumper ended a relationship. They did not want you to chase them, but they believed that you would. They thought that you would. They expected that you would chase them. So if you don't do that, you are in essence rejecting them, even though they don't want you to do it. So they don't want you to chase them, but they expect you to chase them. And if you don't chase them, you are rejecting them, at least in their subconscious. So what we see here is you are going on this upward trajectory through recovery, and they are going down a downward spiral of trajectory in regards to their feelings of rejection. They're feeling rejected more and more and more, downward trajectory. And what happens here? Well, they start to move into the mindset that you've experienced as a dumpee. Now, I'm not here to say they will feel it as strongly as you, but they will feel it nonetheless. They will feel it. They will feel certain degrees of everything which was explained within this study. It might not be as strong, but it will be there. And the longer you implement my version of a no contact rule, the more likely that it is that they will start to feel rejected in their subconscious. And therefore, what we see here is a potential sweet spot of where you almost cross paths, where you are at the stage of moving up, they're at the stage of moving down, and you might just hit that sweet spot of where there is more likelihood of you potentially reconnecting. Now, when is this and how do you know? Well, the best way to find this out is if and when your ex-badumper reaches out to you for an unnecessary reason. Now, this could be weeks into the future, but that is unlikely. It's much more likely to be many, many months, if not more than a year into the future. I would suggest the average amount of time is around 6 months. And if and when you hear from your ex-badumper for an unnecessary reason, months into the future, this could be described as the sweet spot, where they are missing you enough to reach out. And hopefully by that point, you would have recovered to the stage where you can live your life in the best way possible. And there is a good opportunity that as your paths cross at this sweet spot, that if you behave in an appropriate way, if you live your life in a way where you allow them to have conversation with you, moving through the communication stage, moving into a meeting stage, hopefully, this is when you can get your ex back. Now, if you believe that this podcast has helped you, please consider buying me a coffee. The link to do so is in the description.